From Carol McKinney Public Media in Oviedo, Florida.
I don't remember exactly when they told me, but all I remember is not believing it and saying that, like, this was a dream. She's going to wake me up from it. It's all going to be okay. And I would go outside and I would look for her and I would scream her name. And it was really hard on everybody in the family because it took about probably a week before I realized that she wasn't coming back.
With those heartbreaking words, Suzanne Reynolds Acapella has described the moment she accepted the fact that her mother was killed in an automobile accident caused by a distracted driver. I'm Desta Horner for CMF Public Media. Keeping your attention on the road can be difficult with our electronic distractions. The minimum time it takes to read or send a text message on your phone is 5 seconds. If you're driving at 55 miles an hour, you'll travel the length of a football field in those 5 seconds your attention is on your phone, not the road. When drivers read or send text messages, their reaction time is doubled. When asked to respond to a flashing light while texting behind the wheel, drivers were 11 times more likely to miss the light. Today's teenagers are especially vulnerable to using phones and driving. While 97% say it is dangerous to text and drive, 43% admit to doing so. And adults are not good role models. According to 77% of teens, adults tell kids not to text while driving, but they say adults do it themselves all the time. In this feature, we will hear from a teenager who was critically injured and lost her mother, Christy Reynolds, in a horrific crash when a distracted driver ran a red light. Christy Reynolds was a beloved teacher at Crooms Academy for Information Technology in Sanford, Florida, and her loss affected hundreds of students, past and future. In her memory, her students formed an organization called Reynolds Right Hands, a group that works to raise awareness of the danger of distracted driving. We will also hear Winter Springs Police Chief Kevin Brunel. He gives his views on the passage and enforcement of laws prohibiting texting and driving. Pictures of Suzanne Reynolds Acapella and Chief Kevin Brunel and links to additional information are on the CMF website. Suzanne is now a freshman at Seminole High School in Sanford. But I begin my conversation by asking her to describe the events of that night in November of 2009 when she was 11 years old.
We were going to a family dinner at my grandparents' house, and we had stopped at a red light. My aunt was driving, my mom was sitting in the passenger side, and then me and my cousin Frankie were in the back. Then when the light turned green, my aunt went forward, and a woman who had been reaching down to get her cell phone off her floorboard ran the red light and ran into us. We slid and went off the road. My mother was killed on impact. It shattered her aorta, and she bled to death. My skull was fractured. My cousin broke his collarbone and then has several scars on his forehead. And my aunt had, like, internal bruising everywhere. I was told I was in a coma for 2 days.
Wow. When did you learn that your mother had died in the accident?
I don't remember exactly when they told me, but all I remember is not believing it and saying that, like, this was a dream. She's going to wake me up from it. It's all going to be okay. And I would go outside and I would look for her and I would scream her name. And it was really hard on everybody in the family because it took about probably a week before I realized that she wasn't coming back.
Well, after you had recovered from rather severe injuries, how did you decide to use this personal tragedy?
For the rest of my 6th grade year and then my 7th grade year, kind of most of my 8th grade year pretty much, I didn't really do anything. It's not really something you want to think about. 7th grade year was a really hard year. I was struggling a lot. It was bad, but then 8th grade it got better and I didn't really think of it. But then Tyler Krause, the founder of Reynolds Right Hands, the organization started to end distracted driving or, spread awareness for it. He invited me to, Seminole County Sanford Summit in our area. I went to that, and we kind of learned some, and I spoke. That was kind of when, I was kind of like, okay, maybe I should, start doing this. And then the whole week of the anniversary for the accident, we set up a booth at Seminole High School. We had people pledge with their thumbprint not to text and drive, and we handed out, like, you know, pamphlets of information. People ordered t-shirts, things like that. And I was like, okay, I really need to start getting involved because it's like I could really make a difference. So,
who is Tyler Krause?
Tyler Krause was one of my mom's students. He was going through a pretty hard time in high school, and she really helped him a lot, and she helped him find himself, so they were really close.
It must have been a really devastating blow to him.
It was to him, and then also a student, Caroline. Caroline was my mom's teacher assistant. They were both big Gator fans, and they both just had such a connection, and it was really hard for her. So her and Tyler got together, and they started the Reynolds Right Hands organization.
Where did the name come from? Reynolds Right Hand.
Reynolds because Christy Reynolds, and then Right Hand because that's the hand most people use to text with, so it was like, put the phone down.
We have a picture of that on the website so people can see. The symbol is the right hand in a bright fluorescent pink color in front of an automobile. In other words, stop. Don't use your right hand to text.
Yeah.
So these students at Crooms were very distressed that their teacher had been killed by a distracted driver.
Yes.
And that's what got them fired up.
They had banners all around the hallways. People would write messages to her, and they even made a scrapbook writing poems and saying all the nice things she did, and they gave that to me.
Teenagers at any high school can get involved in this project if they want to try to stop the texting. Teenagers today text like ordinary people breathe. It seems like it's second nature to them. You guys have been raised with a cell phone in your hand. 34% of all teens say that they have texted while driving. 55% of them say they believe that it's safe to text and drive. How do you overcome those kinds of feelings by young people who see their cell phone as a necessity?
That's a really hard thing to do. I still think we're trying to figure out how to reach, but that's why I think it's good that most of this work that I'm involved in is youth-led, so we can try and reach the youth because they'll listen to us, hopefully. And, you know, I'll share my story with my close friends, but then I know some of them still do text and drive. And also, it's not just, like, cell phones. It's people putting on their makeup. They'll be, you know, they have the mirror down, and they'll be trying to put on their makeup while they're driving because they're late for school, or they'll be in the car, and they really need to finish this essay. You know, I've seen a few students trying to, like, write while they're driving, trying to write an essay, and you need to have a passenger to do those things for you so you can focus on the road.
So if you're riding with someone, let them do the texting.
Yes.
You do the driving.
Yes, that's what my whole family does. I feel like it just has to be repetitive. You cannot do this. It has a bad impact. I don't know, I feel like you just have to keep pushing it. Don't let it sit. They don't realize it until it happens to them, but by then it's too late. And I'm not mad at the woman who hit our car and killed my mother because it's terrible. It shouldn't have happened. It's totally preventable, but I can't be angry at her because my family, members of my family who were texting and driving too, I didn't think anything of it. So I can't be mad at her because so many people do that. I feel like people automatically, like, villainize people. Oh, she's a terrible person. She killed someone in a car accident. But an hour later, they're getting in the car, and they'll do that too. They'll just go on their phone, and they won't think anything of it.
Suzanne, I understand that you went to Washington, D.C. Was this a national conference on distracted driving?
I went to a Teen Distracted Driving Prevention Summit in Washington, D.C., it was a youth summit, so kids from all around the country came up to Washington.
Well, I noticed that one of the sponsors for this summit was AT&T, the company that provides text messaging services over your cell phone, is actually leading the charge against distracted driving.
Yes, they actually have an app called Drive Mode, and it applies to AT&T and Android phones. And once you get in the car, if your phone's on, when your car gets up to 25 miles per hour, I think it is, your phone is, like, automatically deactivated, so you can't text or call. And if someone tries to text or call you while your car is over that 20, 25 miles per hour, it has an automatic response back that says, I'm in the car, I'll get back to you later.
Suzanne, you spent 2.5 years recovering, healing yourself before you became an activist in this cause. Has it been good for you to be asked to relive this incident and remember your mother so actively, or is it hard?
It's hard. We were really close. You know, she was my best friend. I went to her for everything. We never fought, ever. And so it definitely is really hard to think about sometimes. You know, memories are everywhere, all over my house, and it gets pretty hard sometimes, but I don't want other people to have to go through what my family and I went through. The thing that gets to me is that we had never fought. Maybe little things like, oh my gosh, okay, but around the time of the accident, about a week before, she was going out with this guy, and that was really new to me. I was like, I have to share you. I was so used to her devoting every single minute to me, and so it was really hard, you know, when you have divorced parents and you get really close to one parent, you don't want him to start dating someone else, and so this was new, and I didn't know how to react, and I was really angry at her, and I was just being rude, and I know all teenagers do that and stuff, and people were like, well, oh, she still loves you and stuff, but teens need to know that when you fight like that, people could be taken away at any moment, and I didn't think she was going to, but we were fighting, and then she was gone, and I didn't have a chance to tell her that I loved her or anything like that, like we usually did, and so that's a big regret of mine, you know, I have to look back on it and think about that, and that's really hard for me.
The more activist you are, you can save someone else from having the same kinds of regrets,
yeah,
the same situation.
Definitely. People are going to get angry at family members. That's how it is. Teenagers, teenager hormones, you know, all that stuff. I understand it's hard to control your temper and you get frustrated and stuff, but all I ask of my friends is to try and be respectful to their parents, grateful for what you have, because you never know when it's going to be taken away. And that was a really big lesson I learned because I didn't know.
Suzanne, there are many states that have a no texting while driving law. Would you like to see such a law passed in Florida?
I would. I would like to see that law. I know not everybody follows the law and stuff, and people speed, and when they see a cop, they slow down. But I feel like if it was a law, that would be a start. And then eventually, I'd like to reach the no handheld devices law. No texting. People would probably think, you know, I was just talking. I could still call. I think we can get the texting, no texting and driving law passed. I think we can do it. And I really like people to contact their legislator and tell them to support the no texting and driving law.
Maybe there will be a law in 2013. That would be quite an achievement, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
Suzanne Reynolds Acapella may be enthusiastic about a new law banning texting and driving, but what about the law enforcement community? Oviedo Police Chief Jeff Chudnow doesn't like texting and driving, but he is worried that it might cause drivers to simply hide their phone from the police by putting it in their lap or on the seat. That could mean they would be looking down or to the side and have their eyes off the road even more. I spoke to Kevin Brunell, chief of the Winter Springs Police Department. He has been a police officer in Winter Springs for 23 years and chief since 2009. He is a member of the Highway Safety Committee of the Florida Police Chiefs Association. He talks about the dangers of texting and driving, as well as legislation and the enforcement of a ban.
Texting while driving is something you see even more often these days, and safety is compromised when you're not only texting while driving, but if you're doing anything other than paying attention to while you drive.
39 states in the United States have banned texting while driving. Do you favor such a ban for the state of Florida?
Quite frankly, if you're looking down texting, you have no clue about what's going on around you. If there's a possibility that your actions are going to endanger my family members or any other family member out there on the street, then it should be banned.
One of the arguments against a legislation that would ban texting and driving is that it would be so difficult to enforce, and so therefore the law would be useless. How can you tell when somebody is texting and driving? How would you enforce this?
It is enforceable. All you have to do is look around you. I see it on a daily basis, and I am unable to do anything about it as a police officer. I drive down the road in an unmarked patrol vehicle and see all types of people texting and driving. And the only time I'm able to do something about it as a police officer is when something happens to that vehicle that either it crosses over a line or it bounces off of a curb or it runs off of the road or something like that. And that's why I've always been an advocate of, I don't know why they want to create a new law for texting and driving. The careless driving statute says you are guilty of careless driving if you do anything that results in you losing control of your vehicle, crossing over a center line, speeding, driving recklessly, not paying attention to what you're doing. Why not just say that if you're texting while you're driving, you are guilty of careless driving, and let us just enforce that statute that's already on the books? Why do we need a new law? The legislator can say that as a prerequisite to careless driving and careless operation of a motor vehicle, and police officers can pull you over for that.
Chief Brunel, the state of Connecticut did ban texting while driving, and they found in a survey that just simply having the law and publicizing it resulted in a 33% reduction in the number of people that were texting and driving.
Sure. Most people, the vast majority of all of the Florida residents and the Florida drivers, are going to abide by the law if they know that there are ramifications for their actions. If you've ever seen anybody text and drive, they look down for several seconds to sometimes as much as a minute and don't know what's going on there. And what I don't think people realize is that your reaction time at 25 miles an hour is about 58 feet before you actually react to something that happens in front of you. If you're driving down a neighborhood street, if you're traveling 25 miles an hour, you travel 58 feet before you react to something. So what if a child runs out from between the car? It's physically impossible to stop in time before you hit that child. Now put texting and driving to that. How are you ever going to stop your vehicle when a child makes a mistake and runs out into the street and you're texting and driving? So say you're on the interstate texting and driving, and there's an 18-wheeler stopped in front of you, and you're looking down, and you're doing 85, or you're doing 70 miles an hour, the speed limit. What does that tell you?
You're going to run up the back of that 18-wheeler.
And you're going to kill yourself and anybody in the car. You've just killed somebody else. Was that text that important that you now have to live with the fact that you've killed somebody? How important was that text?
According to Chief Brunel, there is a consensus among the police chiefs, sheriffs, and highway patrol associations in Florida that texting and driving should be banned. The students in the Reynolds Right Hands organization also hope their texting slogan, TTYL, talk to you later, soon becomes the law in Florida. We've posted pictures of Suzanne Reynolds Acapella and Chief Kevin Brunel on the CMF website. There you will also find the extended interview with Suzanne. We've also included links to other websites offering more information related to this feature. Should you wish to comment on this podcast, we have provided an online process for you to offer your reaction to this feature. And you might also wish to email a link to this feature to someone who might value hearing it. If you wish to contact CMF Media, click on the Contact tab and send us an email. While at the website, we encourage you to visit our archive section for more stories about the people, politics, and history of our community. And while you're there, consider subscribing to the program content using the RSS feature we provide for your feed reader, or subscribe using iTunes. Once subscribed, you will be alerted immediately to each new feature we produce and post. You may prefer to subscribe to CMF's free e-letter, so we may keep you up to date on new programs as they are posted. Or stay in touch by following CMF on Twitter and Facebook. CMF Public Media is a nonprofit, publicly supported charity. Information about CMF is available on the homepage of the website. For CMF Public Media, this is Desta Horner.
Support for CMF Public Media is made possible in part by the Friends of Carol McKinney, who encourage you to make a tax-deductible gift in support of the programming activities of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media.
You may give online at cmfmedia.org, where you may also see a complete list of those friends in the donor section of the website.
This podcast is a presentation of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media, Incorporated.
Visit cmfmedia.org for more information.
This is Judith Dolores Smith for CMF Public Media.
And this is Michael Hominick.